This is Herb Montgomery, Director of Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free, even our seminars that we do in various venues. So if you'd like to help us keep doing what we do, I'll tell you how you can do that at the end of this podcast. For now, it's our hope that you will just simply enjoy this podcast as our gift to you. This is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Our title this week is Jesus' Vision for Community, Wealth Redistribution, and Closing the Inequality Gap. Our feature text is Mark 10:23, where it says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, first this week, I didn't say this statement, so don't be upset with me, but it is in Mark's version of the Jesus story. So I'd like to address it. Most believe that Mark's gospel was written just before or just after the destruction of Jerusalem during the Roman-Jewish War. The events taking place in the Jesus community at this time help us understand re-emphasizing Jesus' teachings on sharing our superfluous wealth with each other. Now, according to the book of Acts, the Jesus community practiced communal care. They took care of the needs of those within in their own community. In Acts 2:44-45, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. In Acts 4:32-35, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. What's so amazing about both of these passages in the book of Acts is the result. The early Jesus community eliminated poverty within their group. There were no needy persons among them. And this is what a world influenced by the teachings of Jesus could look like. One of the purposes of Mark's gospel is to encourage Jesus' followers to continue this caretaking. And here's how he does it. Mark dedicates a large portion of the narrative to this topic. First, we have the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 with the 12 baskets of leftovers in Mark 6:34-44. Then two chapters later, we have another feeding of a multitude in Mark 8:1-10. And this time it's 4,000 who are fed with 7 basketfuls left over. Just one of these stories would be expected, but it's the repetition of the elements that should cause us to sit up and ask why. Why is Mark including two multitude feeding stories? The disciples, this is Mark, his answer to the question, verse 14-22 of chapter 8. It says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke 7 loaves for 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Let's begin to unpack this exchange a little bit. Are your hearts hardened? Jesus asks. In Hebrew folklore, the quintessential hardened heart was Pharaoh's in Exodus. And within that story, Egypt symbolizes a world, basically a world empire, built on scarcity, accumulation, and storage that over time grew into a domination system rooted in greed, oppression, and ruthless brick production. section. I'll throw in some text into this week's e-site so you can get the references, the sources for those story details. But the story climaxes with a standoff between Moses the liberator and Pharaoh the oppressor. And the story says that Pharaoh's heart was hard, meaning that he would not let the Israelites go. And I'll give you a reference for that in the e-site also. But Jesus emerged within first century Judaism as a liberator of the poor and the oppressed. To the degree that Jesus' disciples would not participate in this liberation, they, like Pharaoh in the story, chose the way of a hardened heart. Jesus called for his followers to radically embrace one another to the degree that even the wealthy would embrace the poor and liquidate superfluous assets to eradicate the need of those who were impoverished. Two chapters after the conversation in Mark chapter 8, we see Jesus telling a rich questioner, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor." That's Mark 10, 18 through 25. And there are two obstacles to this level of radical sharing. One is feeling that you don't have enough to share, and the other is having enough today, but being so afraid of not having enough in the future that you refuse to share now. And the stories of feeding the multitudes addresses the first obstacle. The rich man in Mark 10, I think, represents or answers the second one. In each of the multitude stories, there's not enough to go around. But in these stories, each person brings what they have, and miraculously, there is somehow enough with more to spare. In Mark 8, in the boat, the disciples are bumping up against a scarcity mentality once again, and there's only one loaf to be divided among them. And their temptation is to revert to the narrative of hoarding or competing for what there is. And Jesus warns them to beware of the leaven of Herod and the wealthy Pharisees. The leaven that Jesus is referring to here is that fear of future scarcity that leads to accumulation of hoarding and greed and a hard heart that ignores the needs of others today. The hard heart makes you a mini Pharaoh, one who refuses to liberate those around you from whatever prevents them from being fully human. Jesus' solution to the oppression of the poor is not charity, but community. And I don't think there's anything wrong with charity. Charity is vital. Charity takes care of hungry stomachs right now. And certainly following Jesus includes no less than sharing charitably with the needy. But it also includes more. Following Jesus means community, where each person, rich and poor alike, brings what they have to the shared table. Even though we may be tempted to think that we only have two loaves or a few fish to feed an entire community, when we come together, something magical happens as each person contributes what they have. Somehow, every person's needs are met. A couple weekends ago, I encountered an organization in Glendale, California called Communitas. And Communitas is a Latin noun referring to an unstructured community in which people are equal and to the very spirit of community. The philosophy is that we can choose to network together in a community where each one of us has something that someone else needs. Our needs put us in touch with one another. And as we choose to take care of each other, each ability connecting with each need, we can eliminate need by applying the abilities we already possess. Even those who are in need have abilities and talents that they can bring to the shared table. Communitas is an amazing organization that does more than offer Band-Aid solutions to poverty. It's an organization that subversively casts a vision of systemic change. I'll put a link to Communitas' website in this e-site as well, so you can check them out for yourself. But in Mark, Jesus' solution to need or poverty is to close the inequality gap by inviting each person into community where every need is supplied by another person, especially that person's shared ability. So some of the wealthy responded well. Think of those among the wealthy tax collectors collectors who had chosen to follow Jesus. I'll put a link to some of those stories in the East Site. And others didn't. They think of the Pharisees who viewed Jesus' teaching with contempt and dismissal, and I'll put a few references to that also. But Mark finishes his story in chapter 10 with these words, "Children, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Notice that he does not say that it was impossible. He did say that it was hard. Jesus was simply being honest about the difficulty. In the words of Bob Dylan, "When you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose." But for those who felt as if they had much to lose, choosing the way of compassion and bringing what they possessed to the shared table was, at best, a challenge. Kind of a tangent, there actually wasn't a camel gate in Jerusalem either, and I want to talk about that for a moment. Some people say there was a camel gate, that camels had to get down on their knees to enter. This is a myth that began in the 16th century to allow the wealthy to follow Jesus and still hold on to their wealth. The phrase "eye of the needle" is actually beautiful Hebrew hyperbole, and it also appears in the Babylonian Talmud, and I'll put a link for that there too in the East Site. So Jesus is also using, too, on top of all of that, he's using an Aramaic play on words. The Aramaic word gamla can be translated as rope as well as camel, because most ropes were made of camel hair. And the phrase also can be read then as getting a rope through the eye of the needle. And the pun holds as Mark's gospel is translated from Greek into Latin, too. The Latin word for rope is camelos, and the Latin word for camel is camelos. So they're very similar. What does the pun mean, though? For a rope to go through the eye of a needle, and this is important, this is why it's hard but not impossible. For a rope to go through the eye of a needle, it must undergo a change. It must be pared down significantly. The rope must become thread. Jesus is saying that the way that the wealthy are saved is through choosing to let go of their fear of the future, their trust in the safety of what they've accumulated, and to accept instead the way of compassion that values fellow human beings more than wealth. Jesus calls the wealthy to place their wealth on the shared table alongside of everything else that others are bringing to the shared table. There's no hoarding allowed. The emphasis is not about reducing individual wealth, though. I mean, it is true that one of the ways, the first way that Jesus saves the wealthy is making them unwealthy. But it's not on reducing individual wealth. It's about making wealthy communities. Jesus is casting the vision of sharing communities that create shared wealth. And these communities, as it states in Acts, there will no longer be a needy person among us. Aphorism, a Jewish aphorism, is a needle's eye is too narrow for two friends, but the world is not enough for two enemies. And I'll give you a reference to that in the East Side as well. And the last one is attributed to Margaret Mead. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful and committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. In our heart group application this week, I have a special activity for each heart group. Before you meet as a group, I want you to take time to personally watch Richard Wilkinson's 16-minute TED Talk, "How Economic Inequality Harms Societies." And as you're watching this on your own, write down any thoughts, questions, or insights that you get as you watch. Then number two, when you meet together for your heart group this upcoming week, watch the short presentation again as a group together, and then spend some time sharing with each other your response. And then number three, as a group, write down ways that you could close the gaps that exist within your own heart group and pick one of these ways to experiment with over the next few weeks. Then schedule a time, maybe a month from now or so, when you can as a group discuss what you've discovered through this exercise. And also, I'd love to hear what your heart group discovers if you do this. Shoot me an email and let me know what has happened. Again, Jesus gave us a way to create shared community His answer to poverty was community. And as we learn to value each other above our own possessions, something truly beautiful happens. Till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. Here's to a safer, more compassionate world through the means of a shared table, a shared table that's for us all. I love each one of you dearly, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you once again for listening to this podcast. As I said earlier, Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free. We don't make any money off of our seminars that we do in various local venues, and all of our resources are provided for free online. I have a hard time philosophically charging people money for that which I think Jesus gave to humanity for free. And so we take Jesus' words very seriously. Freely you've received, freely give. Even anything that we receive above our annual budget, we don't keep. We like to pass that on to other charities who are making a difference with the poor in this world. So if you'd like to support Renewed Heart Ministries and the work that we're doing in helping others encounter Jesus, please go to renewedheartministries.com. You can either you can go to renewedheartministries.com/donate, or if you go to just the website, you can click in the upper right the link there that says donate. You can make a one-time gift or become one of our monthly contributors. Every little bit helps. And for those of you who are already supporting us, with all of our hearts, we want to take this opportunity to say thank you. You're the one that's enabling us to share Jesus far and wide all around the globe. Thank you to each one of you for listening once again. As we like to say here at Renewed Heart Ministries, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. Thank each one of you so much.